I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Well, welcome into another edition of The Memo. It is Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. I'm Brad Locke, not with W. Derek Russell. He's skipped town or something.
Goodbye, Derek.
It's Lauren Wood. Hello, Lauren.
I'm here.
It's the turkey edition of The Memo,
yes.
I guess.
Happy early Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve, isn't it? I wonder, should I fast the rest of the day in preparation for tomorrow?
No. You just got to wear, like in Friends, you just got to wear your turkey-eating pants.
My turkey-eating pants. Well, I do have some turkey-eating pants because I lost a little weight in the past year, so I've got some pants a little too big, so I may have to break those out tomorrow. No, I'm not going to fast. I can't go that long without eating. If I'm not eating about every 2 to 3 hours, I'm cranky. But you, Chris, you got plans tomorrow?
You just pace yourself, yeah. We're going to have a good Thanksgiving meal. And
watch some football?
Watch some football.
Sit on the couch?
Oh, yeah, go Lions.
Take it easy.
Well, you're a Lions fan. Well, I knew you were a Michigan State fan.
I mean, I root for all Detroit sports, but the Lions have always been terrible, so it's like...
Yeah. You had Barry Sanders for a while there. That was good.
I mean, that was maybe before I was born.
Stop it.
Or around when I was born. I mean, 80s, right?
He played into the 90s.
Okay. He only played like 9 or 10 seasons.
Yeah, he retired young.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Smart for him.
I mean, I was...
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I'm old now.
Sorry.
I turn 40 just, next week.
I know.
It's a week away.
We all talk about Sanders.
Sneaking up on me.
Oh. Yeah, I need to get your cake ready.
That's right. Lauren Wood here, as I've mentioned, is just a master with making cakes, and she's making me a cake for my birthday.
I am.
You know it'll be good.
I'm excited. Seriously, that's what I'm looking forward to the most on my birthday.
Is
the cake.
So you're going to have to pace yourself on Thanksgiving.
I know. And one thing I've learned over the years with Thanksgiving feast in particular, get a lot on the one plate if you want, but just don't go back for seconds.
Don't go back for seconds.
No. I used to do that all the time, and I would sit around feeling overly full and terrible the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So.
Just eat.
I just have no willpower when it comes to food, but I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I don't know. My philosophy is you get a little bit of everything at first and find out what's the best.
Yeah, exactly. And then go back and fill in on the best stuff.
It's not a bad option. Need to remind y'all, this is the last show of the week. No show tomorrow because it's Thanksgiving, and I think most of us will be... Like I said, stuffing ourselves and not working. There will be an episode of Double Coverage. Actually, it's already up. It's usually posted on Thursdays. It actually got posted Tuesday. Parrish and Logan got it knocked out. And Talking the Egg Bowl, that's coming up Saturday with the Ole Miss and State, 6:15 on ESPN2. So they break it down there. And also, Parrish has an interview with Cole Kubelik, SEC Network analyst. On the show. So who y'all picking? It's kind of a toss-up for me.
I know. I've heard that the home team usually wins it.
Yeah, the home team has won like 10 of the last 11 or whatever it is. For that reason alone, I'm picking State in a tight one. If it was at Oxford, I'd pick Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's going to be close, I think.
It's going to be a good game. Be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Could be high scoring, Chris. What do you think? Because they've been putting up all these points.
Yeah.
Lately.
And both have big offense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I mean, you look at the way that Dak Prescott, as we talked the other day, and all the yards he had last week against Arkansas, the Ole Miss offense, which was kind of absent in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden it's clicking again.
Run game's better. Chad Kelly's really good. And Chad Kelly and Dak Prescott.
That's going to be real fun.
Yeah, those two might be the best two quarterbacks in the SEC. And Lauren, you haven't been here maybe long enough to appreciate this.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd hear someone say, hey, the Ole Miss and State quarterbacks are the best in the SEC.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. State does not have a great quarterback tradition pre-Dan Mullen. Ole Miss has had some good quarterbacks, obviously Archie and Eli. You think of those guys.
But really, since Eli, they've really kind of been struggling to find that guy for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, going to be a fun game. I can't wait to sit on the couch and watch it. I know it's a sellout already. So.
I'll be there in the rain.
Oh, that's right. You'll
Hopefully
be there shooting it.
Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Hopefully it does not rain in Starkville.
For
Lauren's sake, but we'll have are we double staffing that one?
Yep, me and Adam.
We do that every year. Yep. We double staff with the photographers, and we'll have plenty of guys in the press box writing about it too. So look for our coverage this weekend for that. Also, look out for Santa Claus. He's coming to the Journal, Lauren.
Next week.
December 7th through the 9th, Santa will be here at the Daily Journal.
I'm sorry, the week after. I keep forgetting. There's a week in between. Yeah, there.
2 weeks.
Yes. No, I said a week.
Oh, you said
a week.
Yeah. I don't remember.
7th and 8th and 9th.
Okay. Yeah, yep. December 7th through 9th, you can bring your kids, and they can bring their letters for Santa. Mm-hmm. Or if they haven't written one yet, you get here at the Journal, you can write the letter, then go see Santa. Get free pictures taken. Lauren, you'll be taking the pictures, won't you?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Might even be wearing an elf costume.
Oh, boy. Well, someone needs to get a picture of that.
Yeah.
Going to have coloring books, apple cider, snacks available. Again, the photos are free. Your photo with mm-hmm. Santa.
Yep, you can free download.
Yeah. We're located at 1242 South Green Street. And again, December 7th through 9th, 4 to 6 p.m. on that Monday and Tuesday, 3 to 5 on that Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So those letters, by the way, will publish in the Journal December 21st. Got a good show ahead. We got Riley Manning on the show. We got Zach Orsborne. We're going to talk about lots of Thanksgiving stuff to talk about, including ways you can volunteer.
Yep.
Lauren.
I'll be shooting on Thanksgiving, so I'll be coming to some of these. I know they're at Salvation Army. There's always a great volunteer turnout, people helping prepare meals they have people come to the Salvation Army tea, and they also do Meals on Wheels. They deliver meals to people.
Right.
Also, Craven Catfish and Driscoll's Diner. Craven Catfish and Sherman and Driscoll's Diner in Saltillo will be having meals for people that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people who are looking for ways to help out and volunteer tomorrow, Jenna Parsons had a story in today's Daily Journal. You can also find it at djournal.com that mentions some of those that Lauren just ran through.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can kind of, as Susan Gilbert of the Salvation Army said, as far as helping out there, just kind of come and help as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no time requirement there. Just do what you can, and it's good to help because a lot of people don't get to enjoy Thanksgiving like we do. It's good to help those people out. Also, if you're looking for somewhere to eat, and just don't want to make a big dinner or you don't know how, like I don't know how. Fortunately, I have people in my family that can mm-hmm. cook. Plenty of places to eat. There's a few places open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we've got that. I believe we got that list
also
in the paper
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so we got that going on. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're going to have Riley Manning on the show in a few minutes. He'll talk about some Thanksgiving related food stuff, food for families as well. So that and a lot more coming up here on the show. Okay. Let's welcome Riley Manning back to the show. Riley, how are you?
Good. How about y'all?
All right. Big Thanksgiving plans?
Not too much.
Just hang out with family?
Just hanging out.
I hear you. We had a story in today's journal at djournal.com. Food for families. It's that time of year where, you know, you're focusing a lot on getting stuff for people for Christmas, getting presents, but there's a lot of people who it's a tough time during the holidays and really year-round. And so this Food for Families food drive going through December 11th, collecting food for people who are suffering from just not having enough food. Food insecurity is the term you hear a lot, right? How is that kind of different from just, you know,
So hunger? When we think about soup kitchens and food drives and things like that, I think most people have an image of somebody who's more or less living on the street and is homeless. And while there certainly are, that situation is out there, the majority of the people that food banks serve in the Salvation Army as well are just people who are kind of scraping by, like maybe it's a single mom taking care of a grandmother and a couple of kids and just trying to make ends meet, things like that.
Okay.
So that's what food insecurity means. Like if you've been laid off your job, or if you're a senior citizen on a fixed income, and it also kind of means that you have to make choices between what you pay for. So I can either keep the lights on, or eat, or get my medicine, or buy food, and that's a really tough situation.
And this is kind of a really widespread team effort. A lot of different organizations involved. Mm-hmm. Kind of who's working together?
Well, first
together?
Of all, the Daily Journal,
right.
Is a drop-off point.
It is.
For cans. Several radio stations, a couple of TV stations, Bancorp South, Mississippi State Extension Service, a couple of other businesses around town are drop-off points. And so where this food goes is it goes to the Mid-South Food Bank in Memphis and the
Mississippi Food Network.
Right, the Mississippi Food Network in Jackson. And so what they do is they collect all of their food and then send an inventory out to all of their agencies. And these agencies kind of pick from the inventory, like a shopping list of kind of what they need.
Yeah.
And then the food banks distribute the food to these food banks.
And you know, it's not just something for the holidays. I mean, they're kind of emphasizing that, you know, it stretches beyond December that they're needing to collect this food for people.
Right. The holidays are kind of, I mean, it's a double-edged sword because you do have like a huge outpouring of not only donations in the season of giving, but awareness as well. You know, people are a lot more, their ears are kind of pricked more for opportunities to help in various situations like food insecurity. But then after Christmas is over, people tend to forget about that.
Yeah.
And so donations are really, really sluggish in January and February.
So they're trying to get as many as they can right now. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What kind of items are they really looking for mostly?
I mean, just your essential, like meats, canned meats, vegetables. The guy at Mississippi Food Network said milk, just pretty basic stuff, hearty things like canned soup.
Right.
Spaghetti, stuff like that.
Okay. And as far as, like I said, in Lee County, I think there's 17 affiliated food pantries. So there's several drop-off points, including the Daily Journal. And this goes, again, what, through December 11th?
December 11th, that's right.
Okay, good deal. Riley, thank you for your time, sir.
All right, no problem.
Well, we're 2 days away from the big day. Tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving, but a lot of people focus more on the day after, which is Black Friday. And Zach Orsborn, I almost messed up your name again, Zach. Zach Orsborn is here with us. Hey, what's up?
Not much. Thanks. Just learning about Black Friday.
Yeah, man. Had a good story in the Journal today about it. Talked with some people like Jack Reed Jr., the store manager at Kohl's. I mean, JCPenney. It's going to be insane as usual, which is why I tried to stay home on Black Friday.
Same.
My wife actually worked retail the past 3 or 4 years, and she hated Black Friday. She's not doing it this year because she's at home with the baby. But it can be, I'm sure, especially for the people working, very stressful. So how do they kind of try to alleviate that stress? I know Jack Reed, for instance, said he kind of tries to make it fun for everybody, doesn't he?
Yeah. At Reed's, they have food all day and night, and they have contests. And I'm not sure what the contests are, but they try to have fun with it. And John Gorman, he's the store manager for JCPenney's, and he said that you might think it'd be really stressful, but it can be fun. And, you know, he looks down at his watch and it's already time to go. And Janessa Smith, store manager for Kohl's, she called it crazy fun.
That's good.
It'll be fun, stressful, very long hours.
And this is when, I think most people know this, Zach, this is basically how most businesses get into the black for the year. And this is when they do the bulk of their sales, which is kind of crazy to think about, that basically one day out of 365 is when you make your money.
Yeah, they just, it explodes pretty much.
And now, of course, you've got people opening on Thanksgiving, sometimes Thanksgiving evening or whatever, sometimes at midnight. I guess that's just what's that due to? Just the over-competitiveness?
Yeah, John Gorman said that it's the competitiveness of retail because everybody's opening earlier to get those big items out, and they all kind of, all the businesses kind of push each other, and JCPenney's is going to be open 3 hours before anyone else in the mall. They're open 3 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And Kohl's is opening 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, in fact, we've got a list of those openings at the bizbuzz.djournal.com. That's Dennis Sid's business blog. Some other openings of note: Big Lots, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Fred's, Scruggs, all at 7 a.m. opening. That's on Thanksgiving, I believe.
The 7 a.m.?
I'm sorry. It is on Friday. Hancock Fabrics, 4 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Best Buy, Toys R Us, 5 p.m. Belk, 6 p.m. So, yeah, you got a lot of these in the mall. It will be open 6 to midnight, and the stores inside the mall could vary with their hours. Did the retail people see this as kind of a good development or not so much?
When I talked to them, they seemed to be pretty excited about it because they're going to have a lot of business, especially Jack Reed Jr., he's looking forward to it because, you know, in October, November with the warm weather, people are kind of putting off buying winter clothes. And so he expects most people to get a lot of their winter clothing on Black Friday. And Janessa Smith, she was looking forward to it because there's going to be a lot of licensed products like Star Wars and Marvel and Disney. And
she's the Kohl's manager.
Yeah, Kohl's manager. And they're going to have a ton of electronics, Fitbit, Samsung, Xbox, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm not going to go. I actually went to Kohl's last night and got some new new pair of Nikes. Decided not to wait till Friday. Maybe I could have gotten a better deal, but not worth it to me. I don't know. What about you, Zach? You going to go out Friday and go shopping? Or you got to cover it?
I have to cover the Kohl's at 6 p.m. after Thanksgiving.
Oh, we'll have fun with that.
So I don't have to wake up early, but I will definitely not be in all that mess.
Yeah.
Because I do not like traffic.
Yeah, me either. And really, I mean, the Northern Loop, I think, has helped, but good Lord, the traffic over that side of town.
I can't even imagine.
But right after Halloween, it just gets impossible to deal with.
I've been a couple times. It's just not worth it.
No.
I like my personal space. So.
Yeah, me too. I hate waiting in lines. Anyway, Zach, y'all can read his story on Black Friday preparations in today's journal at djournal.com. And you can follow Zach on Twitter at @thedaily_Zach, Zach with a K. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Well, you know, everyone loves cars. I love cars. Chris, you love cars, don't you?
I do love cars.
Adam Robinson is here. He likes cars.
I sure do like cars.
How you doing, man?
I like cars a lot. I'm doing well.
Hey, you you had this In Focus thing we've been doing every week now, which is really cool. This ran on Monday. It was your turn, Adam, and you shot the Tupelo Automobile Museum, which I know we've shot before with certain stories, but this, again, the In Focus is kind of it's a standalone. You're taking pictures of whatever really you want to take pictures of. So why'd you choose the Automobile Museum?
Actually, I had not thought about it. And Thomas is like, why don't you go down there and photograph the Automobile Museum? And anybody in here that should have thought of that first, I guess, would have been me. But my plan A didn't happen. My plan B didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then I called Jane Spain. And she's like, oh, yes, please come down, because I'd met her a year ago. She's like, we've got to get you in there to take some photos, this, that, or whatever. And, you know, time passed and never happened. She welcomed me in there with open arms and, you know, can't thank her enough for allowing me to get in there for this. And, you know, what ran on Monday's paper is just, you know, a touch of what I photographed. I must have done. I think I took them a disc of 45 images, and you know, you could pick one car and do one In Focus.
Oh yeah,
because there's some that are so detailed, and it's such a wide variety of automobiles. And I hope Tupelo area knows what they have right under their nose.
Oh, and some unique ones too. Like I'm looking at this 1914 boat tail, which I've never even heard of, but it's a sweet looking car. I mean, you know more about cars than I do, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's a Trumbull there, and it's I think one of the only ones in existence in the country. There might be a couple of others, but I'm just sort of shooting from the hip memory-wise. You've got the Tucker that is one of 58 that have been made, and none of them were ever sold. You know, they've got number 28 there. 48 are left in existence.
They've got a DeLorean. Hello.
They've got a DeLorean. You know, for us 80s children, there's a DeLorean. There's a Porsche 944 there. There's a Jensen Interceptor 2 that's there. You have a BMW Isetta that's parked next to a 50s Thunderbird. I mean, there's variety there.
And, goodness.
You know, they're about to start their Christmas exhibit, which is going to be 50s themed, I believe.
Sweet.
And everybody needs to go down there and check that out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they do.
It's very unique, and it's all, you know, chronologically ordered of how they're all laid out. And, it's a gem. Everybody's always heard me say the best festival to go to in Tupelo is the Blue Suede Cruise. Well, in my opinion, this is the best museum in Tupelo to go to.
Yeah, and I've only been there once. I really keep meaning to go back.
I think Adam may know more about cars than most anybody in Tupelo.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I know a lot of makes and models of cars as far as how they work. Don't ask me anything about that, but there's plenty of cars on here I have not heard of. Now, there's one I have heard of, and that's the 1994 Dodge Viper, which when I was in high school, that was my dream car, a Dodge Viper. And you got a good picture of it here from the backside, and tell you what, if I was in there taking pictures of it, Adam, I'd be really, really tempted to jump in it. How many of these cars actually run? and work? I mean,
that I don't know.
That was something I'm curious about.
I know they're maintained,
right?
But as far as what'll just start up and take off, I really couldn't answer that. I think there's like a 1958 Toyo Pet Crown Deluxe. It's I think one of only three or four in existence that Toyota's let them have. Right, it may be on loan right now, but it's just as you walk in, and it's before everything took off.
Yeah, this museum opened in 2002. I mean, a lot of these vehicles are collected by Frank Spain, but mm-hmm. they have some, like you said, that are on loan.
Yeah, they have a lot that are on loan. They also have the exhibits. Like right now, they've got the Pontiac exhibit. It's a lot of different Trans Ams and Firebirds, and they're all locally owned. And some in the mix, when you walk up and down the aisles, they are, owned by private owners.
Right. Okay.
And I think they have some others that they move in and out. They've got the restoration bay. They've got a lot going on.
You mentioned that you could do an in-focus thing on just one car. If you had to pick one out of here to do that on, that you'd love to just photograph from every possible angle, is there one that stands out?
The 1929 Packard that made the top of the photo page. It's it has numerous areas that you could spend on just detail shots, especially by the one of the picks that didn't run up by the door on the side. You've got a circular mirror. You've got chrome coming around. You got a chrome band coming around the hood. You've got another little, I think maybe a circular eight-pillar light.
Yeah.
And then you've got another mirror that's mounted on top of the tire. I mean, it's just...
It's
just design and detail and juxtaposition and focal length and all that just everything starts coming into play. And then you've got the chrome, you get reflections inside reflections. And, I didn't go in and set up any lights. You could. I mean, I could spend 100 years in there just just getting details. And it's a great place. Everybody needs to go and check it out.
Hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Sunday noon to 4:30. Admission $10 for adults, $5 for children ages 5 to 12, free for children 4 and under, $9 for AAA members, seniors, and members of the military. I mean, it's just a really – it's a good, affordable place to go spend some time.
Yeah, they have family passes and single year yearly passes that you can buy, so that'd be the route to go if you want to go and see everything that they have that changes in. I think they change everything out 8 months out of the year and have different specified exhibits,
right?
And that would be money well worth being spent.
You can find that photo package from Adam in Monday's Journal, also at djournal.com. Got a nice photo gallery there. Good job, Adam. Thank you
very much.
And now we have Scott Morris here to talk about his movie review. It'll be in tomorrow's paper, Thursday, but we're going to talk about it today because we want a podcast tomorrow. Scott, you reviewed Mockingjay.
Mockingjay Part 2.
Part 2,
since after what happened in Paris, we had a little French in here. Mm-hmm. May we?
So it's the fourth movie of the Hunger Games trilogy.
Three
books, two. They split the last one into two movies, so this is the second part.
Yeah, and everything's been working to this point, and so what happened is a lot of action, a lot of grim action. This mm-hmm. This is not a happy movie. I don't know if Jennifer Lawrence smiles once.
Yeah,
maybe at the very very end, but she's determined this time. She's determined now to finally. Really, it's her quest for revenge, her heroine's journey to seek revenge on President Snow in the Capitol. And it's kind of – one of the things stylistically that I liked about the whole films is how garishly everyone in the Capitol dresses, with their makeup mm-hmm. and their bright colors.
Very over the top.
And then in this movie, all the rebels are really dressed like Brad is today in gray, and like me in gray, dark black and gray. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in the Capitol, the people there are all downtrodden, all look horrible, but they're dressed so prettily. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got makeup, everybody's got their bright blues and their mm-hmm. bright pinks and everything. Violent movie,
yes.
but a good one. Mm-hmm. A dark ride, but a good one. Yeah. What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. I was actually curious of how they were going to translate the book into that because not trying to spoil it, but a lot, you know, big explosion happens, things go down, you know, crazy war. And I'm like, I wonder how they're going to translate this to the screen.
And then traps, things, I mean, these things that you do from, like, the Hunger Games, if you know about the story from the earlier movies and books, which are complicated things to imagine in your head as you read the book. Yeah. And so it becomes interesting to see how they play out.
Oh, I know. And I've read the books, and I read the Mutts. Yeah. And I guess I did not picture that in my head. Yeah. And it was very, like, kind of terrifying. I don't know if...
It was a hard moment because, I mean, you know, people will die, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, again, from the very beginning of the series in the book, it's almost like the Twilight series where you have, like, these two guys to choose from.
Yeah.
And that love triangle. As she's battling these battles for her life, she also has this love triangle going on. Mm-hmm. And I had read the book, and so I knew how it was going to end.
Yeah.
But seeing it play out again, and the way that there's no doubt of who she's going to choose at the end, it becomes, over the course of this movie, up until this movie, you didn't know. But over the course of this one, it sums up the whole thing so brilliantly that I just kind of wanted to give Suzanne Collins a shout out because as you see it play out again on screen, it is amazing the way she solved that issue and in such a way that was intricate to the story and the plot.
Definitely. I agree.
So, and definitely enjoyment of this movie does go up if you have a history of having seen all the others. Mm-hmm. But I would say on some level, I think we're used to movies, and somebody just sat there fresh to it. Mm-hmm. I think they could follow the fact that Katniss is our moral center and go with this. It would be a grim action movie, very stylish. But I recommend it. I give it an A-. The minus probably for, like, I would have liked some moments of levity. I think it would have made the tension. Increase the tension, actually, if they had some happy moments they could contrast with, things like that. This same
kind of heavy.
It was heavy the whole way out. And had they broken it up, I think it could have been a better movie. But it's still a fine one that I recommend.
Yes, I agree.
What grade do you give it?
Two thumbs way up.
Two thumbs way up.
That's what I said on budget today.
I give it an A minus. You give it two thumbs way up.
When I think with kind of young adult series, like even if you want to throw out like Harry Potter, you know, one that kind of grows... The cast, I think, grew a lot. I think they got a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can definitely see that. And by the end, I think they're all clicking really well. Their emotions are portrayed really well. I think Jennifer Lawrence did a great job in this one, too.
You know, you can tell what kind of actress she is because there's a lot of time spent where the camera's just on her face.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be... I mean, and you do. You kind of project your own thoughts into what you think she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so good at conveying
feelings and such. Well, and a lot of the book is in her head, too. So I think they did, non-verbally, they did a good job.
I remember people being complaining early on about the casting of Jennifer Lawrence for Katniss. And obviously, those people were idiots.
Yes, I was sold. I think she did a great job.
It's showing at the Malco.
Okay.
And, yeah. I'm just thanks for having me on and helping me make this podcast great again.
Of course, your presence is always welcome. And thank you for coming in today, Scott.
Not always welcome. That's not what Derek and Brad say.
Well, I what are you talking about? I love chatting movies, so welcome anytime.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Well, before we get out of here, why don't we just talk about food some more?
Sounds good.
Thanksgiving. Today is the day the food section runs, so check that out in your journal, Jenna Parsons, with all kinds of stuff. So anyway, Jenna has her column, and in this column, talks about some quick ideas, last-minute ideas for just some quick side items if you're bringing something to the Thanksgiving dinner. Actually, we're bringing the turkey this year, so we're good on that. No side items from us, but she got creamy corn, roasted sprouts, last-minute potatoes, sour cream biscuits.
Ooh.
Wow, they all look delicious, Lauren, but, you know, you're between the two of us, you're the cook, I guess, and I'm not. The maple mashed sweet potatoes look kind of good, too.
Well, the thing is just, like, braving the grocery store. I went on Monday, and it was like, ooh.
Oh, dude, I drove around 5, 6, 7 minutes at Kroger just trying to find one spot, even out on the edge of the parking lot. It's impossible. Yeah.
Maybe go late. I like going to the grocery store at like 10 o'clock at night when nobody's there.
I go there a lot at that time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deanna said she's got to go back and get more stuff today. And I asked her, she wanted me to get on my way home from work. And she said everything might be gone by then.
That's
so.
True.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, yeah, but, you know, if you got stuff around the house and need some ideas, Jenna's got that in her column. And also she's got some recipes
leftovers
for after Thanksgiving. Of course, we all know leftover Thanksgiving turkey is just the best.
The best.
Turkey sandwiches. Could eat those. I could eat those year-round, actually. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to when it comes to leftover Thanksgiving stuff is the turkey sandwich. But some interesting recipes from some readers, I guess, that she...
No, those are all local chefs.
Oh, I'm sorry, these are local chefs. Uh-huh. Well, maybe they're readers, too.
Sorry. Yeah.
Local chefs. Yeah, because David Leathers, I know, actually know him.
I like the turkey gumbo.
Oh, I love me some gumbo. The second day turkey tacos, that looks interesting. Mitch McCartney from Outlaw Kitchen.
Ooh.
Turkey tacos. Never had a turkey taco. I've never had a fish taco either, though. I don't know how those are. But
Mom's turkey salad, too.
Cranberry red onion mayo. Whatever. Okay. Next day, frittata. What's a frittata?
Frittata. Yeah.
What is a frittata, Warren? I don't know.
Like a. I'm not very familiar with them, but it's like cooked in a skillet, and I think let me look at the maybe eggs. Yep, and it's like a almost like a cooked omelet, but in like a skillet.
Okay.
So
well, that sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. Mom's turkey salad. Nick Rice from the South, the restaurant. Just north of McCullough. So yeah, that's some good looking food. I have to see what the wife thinks of this. Not that she's like already busy with, you know, the baby and all that. So anyway, check all that out in today's food section along with Cook of the Week. Mm-hmm. Lauren, I guess that's it for today.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Of course, you check us out at DJournal.memo.com or your iTunes or your podcast app. Follow the Daily Journal on Twitter at DJournalNow for all the latest updates on news, sports, and entertainment and whatnot. DJournal.com is the website. And I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. You're on Twitter, Lauren.
At WoodLAU2.
And Chris Kiefer is on Twitter.
At Chris Kiefer.
At Chris Kiefer. KIEFFER.
That's it.
Just to make sure people get that. Again, remind you again about Double Coverage. That episode is already up, talking the Egg Bowl with Parrish and Logan. Find that at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And we'll be back Monday. Again, no show tomorrow because it's Thanksgiving. Oh, hey, almost forgot. Our friends at Thrive Marketing. Need to give them a plug. They're a full-service digital marketing company in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Thrive.ms. I use Thrive.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
Anyway. Okay, Lauren, hey, thanks for filling in for
Thank
Derek.
Thank you.
And we'll see y'all Monday. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.